Time for the Baseball Coaches Show here on Q92. This is Paul Ramo for Q92 Sports. We'll be visiting with area coaches here in the next hour.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramel here for Q92 Sports in the studios this morning for another Baseball Coaches Show. And we're going to got a lot of baseball to talk about today, and we're going to go start it off going on over to Rosen and visiting with Tyler Ottleman, manager of the Rosen Express. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, big day for the Region 9 seat amateur baseball teams, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's the actually opened up yesterday with a game in Dawson, but there'll be 4 games being played in Dawson today now.
That's right. I haven't heard how Appleton and Hancock turned out from last night, but we'll probably get that information unless you know it.
Yes, I do. What I heard from last night, Hancock won a 10-5 win over Appleton last night.
Okay.
So Appleton's season is over with.
And so Hancock will take on the Madison Mallards at 1:30 this afternoon.
Correct.
And you'll hear that baseball game right here on Q92 at Bart Hill. So.
Perfect.
All right, let's talk Rosen Express baseball. Tyler, you have one game to talk about.
Yeah, before that, if you don't mind, I'd like to have a quick shout out to the Big Stone Badgers Legion team, part of our kids that we get. They either come from Madison Legion or the Big Stone Ortonville Legion team, and they are in the Region 1B championship game today at noon. And the winner of that will go to state. They had a thrilling win last night. If I'm not mistaken, it was a 10-9 win in 10 innings yesterday.
Oh, wow. Where's this being held at, Tyler?
All these games are being held in Ortonville. This is the first time they've actually hosted a region due to playing in South Dakota, but yet their field's in Ortonville or Minnesota, so...
Okay.
It's the first time that they've hosted it.
Awesome.
So,
yeah. So the players on the Big Stone Legion are made up of a number of players in the area, you said, or what?
Yep. Okay. Mainly kids from Ortonville. So they go to the closest Legion, which is just right across the border in South Dakota. So we have currently 2 players that are playing in it is Drew Boots and Isaac Kirchberg.
Oh, from the Express. Okay.
Yep, correct.
Awesome. So where is the state? Who are they playing today, and who is the state? Where's the state at?
They play Webster today at noon, and that can be heard at 95.1. And the state game will be held in Redfield, which Rosen played last year in Redfield, and they have a beautiful facility.
Awesome. All right. Best of luck to the Big Stone American Legion team then today. That's great.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Backing up, last regular season game for the Rosen Express, huh?
Rosen played last Sunday at home to finish up the season. They took on Cottonwood. And let me pull it up here quick. Rosen got off to a fast start, scoring the first 2 runs of the game by their pitcher. We got a little wild. He walked the first 2 guys and beat the first 2 guys, or the next 2, by scoring a run. And then Drew Boots had a fielder's choice for an RBI. And after that, the bats kind of went a little silent, and we just couldn't get anything streaky in there. Cottonwood ended up winning the game 6-2 over Rosen. Like I said, the bats just kind of went silent a little bit, and Rosen couldn't get anything streaky in there. But Rosen, leading hits in Rosen for the day was Nathan Strong with 3 hits. Caden Mortensen, he had a double hit. Drew Boots with 2 hits. Devin Boots with 2 hits. And that was all the hitting for Rosen on the day. Okay. Pitching wise, Mike Shakey started on the day. He went 5 innings, giving up 6 hits, 2 runs, which were 2 unearned, and then striking out 8 guys. And then coming in relief for an inning was Evan Ingersoll. He went 1 inning, giving up no hits, no runs, no walks, and striking out 2. And then the last 3 innings were pitched by Christian Canton. He went 3 innings, giving up 6 hits, 4 runs, which all were 4 were earned, no walks, and 4 strikeouts.
Okay. What was the final score of that again, Tyler?
The final score there was 6-2.
Okay, 6-2. Okay. So that ended your regular season, though. Or any other stats on the game? I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Nope. No more stats on the game.
Okay. So that ended your regular season, and what was? How did you end up?
We ended up finishing 3-9.
Okay, 3-9. Okay. And it's the Region 19 tournament starts today. Tell our listeners when you're going to play.
Yep. While finishing there, we ended up 3-9, and we were the 10th seed. And we will take on the 7th seed in Chicago. And we play tonight at 6:30.
Okay. And that's in Dawson?
Yep. All the games this first weekend will be in Dawson. And then the next few games, or the next week, will be all in Morris. It's double elimination now.
Okay. Real good. Well, the best of luck against the Chicago Coyotes at 6:30 tonight in Nelson Field, right?
Yep, that's correct. Yep.
Okay. Well, have a great day of baseball, Tyler.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it, Paul.
Best of luck to the Big Stone Legion.
some of those guys are going to be getting some games, and they played 2 games on Wednesday, a game on Thursday. They played 2 games yesterday, and then they have to win today to keep advancing, so they're going to get a lot of baseball in those 2 guys.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure. All right, Tyler, we'll talk to you next Saturday on the Coach's Show then.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Paul.
Tyler Ottoman, manager of the Rosen Express. We'll take a break. Jerry Royland's in the studio to talk Madison Junior American Legion baseball.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. This week, you'll find wild sockeye salmon, frozen ribeyes, and New York strip steaks at 25% off. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. The Country Butcher will deliver fresh-cut and frozen products free of charge during the city's infrastructure project. Call between 10 and noon each day for delivery that day or evening. The retail store will remain open and will cut fresh steaks and chops and have fresh ground beef on hand. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Whether you're grilling burgers at the cabin or roasting hot dogs around a campfire, Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls are a summertime essential. With so many varieties to choose from, including classic white and wheat, unsliced old-fashioned, brioche, gourmet French, and flavorful onion, Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth has the buns and rolls your family will love. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth, baked locally and delivered fresh daily.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Paul Ramo here in the studio, or Baseball Coaches Show, I should say. Jared Royland's in the studio with us. And Jared, we'll talk about the game last night because one of the most exciting games I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, we had two really good games this week. We started playoffs, started on Tuesday. The first round was up against a good Raymond squad. We had played them earlier in the year. We came away with a 13-7 win, but I told the guys it's playoffs. It's totally different. You can't even think about that. You got to come in with a fresh mindset and be ready to go. And our guys did just that. We came away with a 4-0 win over Raymond. Our pitching staff, I mean, I can't say enough about our pitching staff that night. Davis Patzer started for us and got the win. He threw 6 1/3 innings, and the only reason that I pulled him was because he was at his 105 max. He was doing everything I asked him to. He had 12 strikeouts, and one of the big things that I told him was you only had 3 walks tonight. You don't give extra bases. You don't give them extra opportunities, and you limit that, and that's a big reason why we were able to hold them, shut them out. Gave up 4 hits, and then in the 7th inning, when I had to pull Davis because of pitch count, I told Brock the inning before, I said, I'm going to need you for a save if we get to that point. And he came in and didn't skip a beat, 2/3 of an inning, only faced 3 batters, struck one of them out. So between the two guys, we struck out, and I think they had 28 at-bats. We struck out 13 of them.
Wow.
It was a really good night for our guys on the mound. That was an important first step for us.
That was Patzer and Bjornheld, right?
Yep. Davis and Brock, yep. And then offensively, we had a decent night, too. We had 7 hits. Dylan Keimig was 1-for-3 with an RBI. Tyler Earp was 1-for-3 with an RBI and 2 runs. Really, there again, the top of the order was really good at getting on base and setting us up. Davis Patzer, 1-for-2 with an RBI. And then, just like we talked about last week, I feel like I'm a little bit of a broken record, but the bottom of our lineup really helped us out again. Tayden Clark was 1-for-2. Carson Young was 1-for-2 with a run. And Tygan Allpress was 2-for-2 with a run. That's our 7, 8, 9 hitters flipping everything for the top of our lineup, and I was really happy, and I was really impressed with what those guys did at the bottom there. That gave us our 7 hits and gave us a 4-0 win over a really good Raymond team.
Now, Raymond, and there's a Sacred Heart McRae team, too. Mm-hmm. They're kind of combined, or they had so many players that had divide up a couple teams?
Yeah, so historically they've been... It's been like a Sacred Heart McRae is what they've been. Talking to Tyler, Raymond's coach, between the two schools, RCW and McRae, between the two schools, they just had so many kids in this age group that they decided to split them off, and they had a Raymond team and then a Sacred Heart McRae team. And I think in the consolation bracket, I think they ended up playing last night, funny enough.
Yeah, they did, yeah. All right. Well, so that was a good win. That was the first game of the tournament, right?
Yep. Okay. That was Tuesday night. That was an important first win for us to make sure we've got everything right and feeling good moving forward. And before us, Monty played and beat Sacred Heart. I think it was 8-1 or something like that. And so we knew that was just the first step, and that we'd have a really good test in Monty coming up, facing him 2 times this year and dropping both those games. But the second time we played him, we really figured some stuff out, and it wasn't like we're here and they're way up here. You know, we felt like we could play with them, and I knew we could, and well, we played with them for 9 innings.
Yeah, played with them for 9 innings. That was an amazing game. I should note, I just found this out last night, too. Well, I knew that they were defending state junior legion champions and had everybody back. But they were on a 29-game win streak. Montevideo Junior Legion team hasn't lost in 29 games. That's pretty good. Really.
Yeah, it's a crazy stat. I didn't know the number, but I knew it was pretty high. It's been a couple years since I think they had a loss.
And we had an opportunity to break that streak last night, and what an exciting game. Bart and I did the game, and there was something every inning.
Yes.
I know Dick Newman always says every time you go to the ballpark, you see something new, you see something different in the game, and then we saw that last night too. So
yes.
All right, Jared, I'm going to just turn it over to you and talk about this game.
Yeah, so we had Brock Birnjell start on the mound, and I've had him pitching for me for going on 3 years now, and this was the best performance I've ever seen him put out on the field. Okay. He did everything you wanted a pitcher to do. He threw strikes. More importantly, he got up early on guys with, because, 1 through 9, they're really good hitters, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so important to get up early, because if you get down 2-0 and you got to come across the plate against good hitters like that, they're going to make you pay more times than not. And that was so huge. He got up on a lot of hitters, and he threw strikes and was mixing in his curveball, and his curveball was working. It was really keeping him off balance, and they were starting to get frustrated. I could see it on their faces. The first three innings, I think he only had maybe three. I think he only had three guys on base in the first three innings, and that's unheard of for their team. We got to the fourth inning, and we got the first out of the fourth inning, and then Sam Knoop came up, and he tagged a ball to left center, and Tyler Earp stretched out, and I think it must have just hit off the end of his glove.
Yep.
And ended up in the gap, and Sam's got some speed, and so he ended up at third base for a triple. And then their next hitter, he made a productive out, and he flew out to, I think it was left field, and brought in Sam for the first run of the game in the fourth inning, and that made it 1-0. That was just really good baseball. Our defense did what they were supposed to do. Their offense was just a little bit better that inning. So they scored that run in the fourth inning, and then Brock settled down after that again, and he came back in the fifth and shut them down. And then we got to the sixth inning, and that was a fun inning.
Yep.
We started off. Tygan Allpress started us. He got a single, and then he got to second base on a wild pitch, and I was really excited for that, because you got that kind of speed at second base, and then we flip it to the top of the order. And Dylan Kymeg did everything that you can ask him to do. He laced the ball right up the middle, and I knew I was sending Tygan from the word go, and Tygan came around to score, and we the throw came to the plate, but Tygan was there in plenty of time, and Dylan, this was a veteran move. He took second base, and so he got back into scoring position for us too on that throw, and I looked up at him, and I was all smiles when I saw him standing on second base.
That was a good base running.
Yes,
there.
Yep. I told the guys after the game, it's the little things that are the difference between a W and an L, and
that's right.
And that was one of those big things that we did right last night. And then Davis came up, and they intentionally walked him to get it to first and second with two outs, and so they had a force out on any big, and Davis has been hitting the ball well, and so Coach Epema decided to intentionally walk Davis, and then Landon Weber, our four hitter, came up, and we had a little extra time yesterday, and so I took a couple rounds of batting practice with him in the cage yesterday, and when we were leaving, he said, "Thanks, Jared," and I said, "All the thanks I need is if you have a couple hits tonight and a couple big ones."
Yeah.
And he made it happen. Landon hit a ball between, it just went between the shortstop and the third baseman, and Dylan got a really good jump on it, and he came around and scored, and there again, they threw to the plate, and both of our runners, Davis and Landon, Davis took third base, and then that set up a first and third situation for us, and Landon did a, actually, I had to sub in a pinch runner for him. So I had Nolan Smith was courtesy running for Landon, and so they had a little conference on the mound, and so I brought Nolan over and we talked about the situation. I said, we're in a first and third, and he knew exactly what that meant. He said, so I get in a hot box. I said, if you can, yes. So that's just a testament to these guys. They know they're in the game. They're engaged. They know what needs to be done. And so the next pitch, I sent Nolan, and their catcher, he's a really good catcher, really experienced. He did a fake to second, and then he tried looking at third to see if Dave took the bait, and he didn't. So he had guys on second and third with two out, and it was just couldn't quite come up with that next hit.
Big hit, yeah.
But we took the lead 2-1, going into the bottom of the sixth, and I felt really good and really liked where we were going. It's a lot of pressure, especially when you've got that team with those bats over there. They make you earn everything. And then we came to the bottom of the sixth, and we got a little wild. We gave up the first three runners, were their
walks.
3, 4, and 5 hitters, and we walked the bases loaded. So we put a little extra pressure on ourselves, but
They scored one run out of that, though.
Yeah, but I had a little bit of a conference on the mound, and Rock was locked in right away, right back in again. And he came back to the fourth hitter of the inning, and he struck him out looking. And that was a big out to get, that first out, because that makes a load of difference. And then the next guy came up, and he... We had an error at second base. It would have been a tough play, because I was talking to Bart after the game, and I said, how do you even look at that? And he said, well, in the best case scenario, you turn a double play there, but that's a really hard ask to do, especially on a – it wasn't a hard hit ball. But we had the ball – or an error at second base, and that allowed the first run to score, and it kept the bases loaded. So we still had the bases loaded with one out, and it still didn't faze Brock. He got right back in again to the number 8 hitter, and he made him fly out to Landon behind the plate for the second out, and he came right back against the number 9 hitter and struck him out, and that was huge. Bases loaded, nobody out, and you only giving up one run, and then that tied it up at 2 apiece. That was, I mean, yeah, we gave up a run, but that was big momentum for us, you know, knowing that what it could have been.
It could have been, yeah, but just to get out of that with one run,
yes.
They had the bases loaded, nobody out.
Yes, yep, yeah.
I thought Biernell recovered nicely.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He really kept it to himself, and he managed to get out of a jam. So then we came back in the top of the seventh, and Matthew Arndt was our leadoff hitter. He had a really good at-bat, ended up drawing a walk. And then I had Taden Clark put down a really nice bunt, and he almost, like he did on Tuesday night, he almost beat out another one.
Yep.
But it was, I wanted to get Matt into scoring position, and unfortunately we just couldn't. We had him at second base, ready right there, and we just couldn't quite get him across and bring him around. So then we went to the bottom of the seventh, and it was pretty uneventful. I was expecting more with the top of their lineup, and I didn't know. Brock came up to me, and this was just a really cool moment. He came up to me, he said, "Let me start the seventh. I want this inning." And I said, "Well, if you want it, go get it.
Go get it. Good."
And I was really that when I get that type of fire out of kids and they want something that bad, yeah. I feel personally that you really have to pay it off and let them go work for it.
Yeah, I thought he pitched an outstanding game.
He did. That was really great to see. I'm really excited for that. And so then we went to, and they had the top of the order in the seventh inning. And he went and got the number one hitter. He made him ground out to Dylan at short. And then Griffin Eppema, the number two hitter, he got a huge strikeout with him. That was really big. That was an awesome at bat. And then the number three hitter, their starting pitcher, Gannon Reitinger, they had a long battle there, and Gannon ended up getting a single off of him, and that put him over his pitch count and of 105. And so then we had to do some position changes. Brock went to third, and Davis moved over to short, and I brought Dylan in just because he's got a live arm, and he's really done some good stuff for us in relief this year. And he went to work on their number four hitter, Brody Dack, and got into a full count, and he struck him out swinging, and that sent us into extra innings. And I was there again. I was really, really excited with where we were at because we had the top of the order coming up, and I really thought we had a chance. And then we ended up having them break into their bullpen, and they had Sam Knoop, who we had faced in the regular season, so we were familiar with him. And so he was the starting pitcher going into the eighth, or the new pitcher coming into the eighth inning, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And we put some pressure on him. We had the first two guys get out. Davis came up, and he had a good at-bat, and he ended up getting hit by pitch. And I'll say it again, we had some really good base running. There was a pitch in the dirt where it was questionable, but Davis didn't hesitate, and he took off for second base. And he ended up in scoring position with our four, five, and six hitters coming up. And when Davis got that wild pitch and got to second, then their coach Tim Eppema, he intentionally walked Landon just because of his success earlier in the game. And that there again, it made it first and second with two outs, and so they brought that force out at any base back into play again. And so we had. And then Brock was up again, and we had another wild pitch. And so that got Landon to second and Davis to third, and we had second and third with two outs, and we couldn't quite get that, scratch that next hit across and really, really put ourselves in a really good position. We did everything right up to that point. It's just we needed a couple more key hits, and that's the difference in the ball game. We did a really good job of, like I said, keeping the pressure on them and mm-hmm. and making them work. So then we went to the bottom of the eighth, and I brought in Matthew Arndt because he had pitched earlier in the year too against them, and he had some success. And so I just told him, go throw strikes. Your defense is playing phenomenal behind you. Use them to your advantage. Let them help you out, and you don't have to strike every one of them out. And he did a really good job for us. Their leadoff hitter in the eighth, he reached on a single. It was a good at bat. And then their next two hitters struck out and grounded out. And then we had a funny play for the third out. The leadoff hitter that he ended up on third base with a passed ball and a stolen base, and there was a ball in the dirt that was blocked really well, and Landon did a really good job behind the plate, and Sam Knoop took off for home, and I don't know if he didn't realize that Landon still had the ball right around him, and so he picked it up and tagged Sam out at home for the third out, and that was
huge.
Yeah, there again, it was another.
That was a winning run coming in.
Yeah, there was another big momentum shift, and I was excited for what we were doing, and like I said, our defense played really well all night, and then we came back in the ninth, and we just didn't have the bats, and we went down in order, and then. Came to the bottom of the ninth, and we got their leadoff hitter out. Matt struck him out. He got a little wild to the number nine hitter, and ended up hitting him. And then we got back to the top of the order, and they got a single, And so we had first and second with one out, and then we had, they ended up being a pass ball that just kicked just far enough from Landon that allowed the guys to get to second and third. And then they had their number two hitter up, and I went back and forth with this a lot, and I didn't know if I should let Matt pitch to him or if I should load the bases up, and then we have the force play put back in like Coach Epema did a couple times. But if you load the bases, then, I mean, anything can happen. You can have a walk or hit by pitch, and then you walk home the winning run. And I didn't really like that either, so I elected to pitch to Griffin Epema, and to his credit, he took an outside pitch and hit it to right field for a single, and that
was a game.
That brought around the game-winning run.
Right. Final score was 3-2.
Final score was 3-2 after all of that.
9 innings. Yeah, a lot happened in that game, that's for sure, Jared.
Yes.
Okay, you have some stats there quick?
So, starting on the mound, like I said, Brock pitched phenomenal. He went 6 2/3, had 4 strikeouts. He did have 3 walks, but only gave up 6 hits, 2 runs, and those 2 were earned. And if you can hold that lineup to 6 hits, I'll take that. You know, that was a great start for us, and we needed that.
Yep.
Dylan Keimig pitched 1/3 of the inning, getting us out of the 7th inning, and he faced one guy and struck him out. And then Matthew Arndt took the hard luck loss, pitched 1 1/3. He had 2 strikeouts, had 3 hits, and gave up 1 earned run. We did only have, was it 3 hits on the night, and that's where we need to work a little bit on coming into next week. And we weren't adjusting well to the ump's zone, and we were watching too many pitches. So we need to clean that up a little bit and do a little better job hitting. But our defense kept us in it, and we're gonna work on the bats and hopefully get them ready for next week.
Okay, all right.
I did want to say one other thing, Bart. sorry, Paul. We had this week, our bench has really come alive, and they're doing a really good job of keeping the starters going and keeping them in the game and keeping them loose and happy, and that's a huge, to me, that's a huge deal. I just wanted to give a shout out to Brant Schomer, Brendan Sherb, Nolan Smith, and Malcolm Lilliard. They every time, even after a tough inning, they're joking in the dugout, you know, bringing those spirits up a little bit, and I noticed that a lot this week, and I just wanted to give some credit to those guys, because that's something I can't do. That's something that
good bench there.
Yes, right. We need that kind of stuff, you know.
Okay, well, Montevideo is going to play Mineota. Mineota beat Dawson last night 6-2, so that dropped Madison in the loser's bracket and Dawson as well. So what's happening next?
So next week, actually, I didn't find this out till after the game and after I had my meeting with the players and everything. But luckily enough, the way everything worked out, Monty is the high seed, and so they're hosting the winner's bracket game on Tuesday, and that's a 6 o'clock start. And our game was scheduled for Tuesday at 7 o'clock in Monty. And so we did some, Coach Epema came over to me after the game, and we did some talking and stuff, and he asked if we had our field available, and so then I had to get on the horn with Bart, and we had to talk through some stuff, and we had to talk to the association and because they're starting some demo work next week down at the field.
At Madison Field, yep.
Yep. And I really appreciate the whole association. They're willing to back things off a couple days, so we're able to host a playoff game at home on Tuesday, and it'll be a 6 o'clock start against Granite Falls down at Madison Memorial Field.
Okay, and that's an elimination game,
so
you got to win.
Yep, that's right, yep.
Then I think it's Tuesday and next Friday, too. So,
yeah, Tuesday and then Friday. And if we win, we'd play it. If we win on Tuesday, we'd play at 5 o'clock on Friday, and then we'd have to come right back at 7 o'clock and play again. But we're going to take Granite Falls first, and we're going to start with that. And and go from there.
All right, Jared, thanks a lot. Appreciate you coming into the studio.
Yes, thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate it.
Come on down to the Madison Memorial Baseball Field Tuesday. 5 o'clock?
Six o'clock.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock start against a good Granite team.
Yep.
Love to have a big crowd.
All right. We always do. All right. Thanks, Jared.
Thank you, Paul.
Jared Roiland, manager of the Madison Junior American Legion team. Matt Munson's in the studio to talk Mallard baseball right after this.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, July 21st through Monday, July 24th in Theater 1. It's Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. That's rated PG-13. In Theater 2, Tom Cruise stars in Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, rated PG-13. Both show once nightly at 7 o'clock, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand. Starting Friday, July 28th, The Sound of Freedom.
The Stevens County Fair is thrilled to welcome award-winning country band Diamond Rio. Diamond Rio has sold more than 10 million albums, won a Grammy, a Dove, and 6 Vocal Group of the Year wins. In 1991, with their hit Meet in the Middle, Diamond Rio became the first country music group in history to reach number one with a debut single. Diamond Rio, along with Jason Pritchett at the Stevens County Fair, Friday, August 11th. Brought to you by Insurance Partners Incorporated, Pizza Ranch, and KJ Country. For tickets, log on to StevensCountyFair.org. Unbelievable!
There'll be a pie and ice cream social at the Community Center in Bellingham from 1 to 4:30 p.m. today, sponsored by Zion United Methodist Church. All funds will be going to books for kids in the Ortonville, Lac Parle Valley schools, also to the Bellingham Fire Department. It's all part of Bellingham's Fireman's Appreciation Day today. Open House 90th birthday party for Ken Boris will be held today. That'll be from 1 to 4 over at Madison Mercantile. Couple of Sunday changes here. No worship service at the First Presbyterian Church in Dawson on Sunday. And Big Bend Lutheran will have worship at 9 a.m., not 10:30. Note the time there. That's Big Bend Lutheran worship at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Come on over to the Merck, Madison Mercantile, starting about 6:30 this evening. The music of Eliza Blue. That's this evening at the Merck.
Come on over to Montevideo for the Chippewa County Fair starting Wednesday, July 26th. All events are free with purchase of admission, excluding food, drinks, and carnival rides. Check out the Chippewa County Fair website for a complete list of events at ChippewaCOFair.com. That's ChippewaCOFair.com. The best 5 days of summer are here. Bring the family and friends to the 2023 Chippewa County Fair in Montevideo. See you there. Welcome back to the Baseball Coaches Show, and we're going to turn our attention to Madison Mallard Baseball with manager Matt Munson. He's in the studio. Full day of baseball, Matt, today.
Yep, full day of baseball over in Dawson, so just getting the region tournament going with the first weekend, so it should be a good day.
That's right. A lot of games over there. We'll probably talk about that after we're done here, but you guys had one game to talk about this week.
Yep, yeah. So last Sunday, finishing up the regular season, we headed to Wheaton to take on Dumont. You know, basically what was came into play was some seeding for that game. So going into it, you know, we knew, you know, if we win there, we could clinch a first round bye in the region tournament. But things just didn't go our way. Probably some, I guess, errors on our own part, I guess, defensively that kind of dictated the game for us. But, you know, Dumont is always a tough team to go play. Ended up losing that game 9-2. Going into the first inning there with Dumont up, you know, we started off the game with an error and gave up a hit, but, you know, followed with two quick outs, but then had some trouble on the mound with a couple walks. And then with the wind blowing out of the north there in Wheaton, basically a fly ball, it probably would be a routine out, sailed over the fence for a grand slam in the first inning. So, yeah, pretty tough to start out down 5-0 after one inning. Against a team like that, the Dumont Saints, just been a really solid team the last couple of years. But, you know, even with that being down 5-0, you know, we thought that, you know, one good inning, you know, we could be right back in it. And, you know, because the wind was blowing out for us too. So, but we didn't take advantage of it. Third inning, yeah, we did get a run back, but still had runners on third and second with two outs. So had a good opportunity there with a big hit to make it a ball game again, but didn't just come through.
You know, from there on, you know, our defense continued to play a little poorly, which, you know, if you're going to have a poor defensive game, I guess better to get it away, out of the way during the regular season versus in the playoffs. So, you know, on the day, you know, we did score one more run in the ninth, but, you know, gave up quite a few unearned runs to the Dumont Saints. Of their nine runs, eight of them were unearned as we committed six errors. You know, some bright spots on the game. We did out-hit Dumont, eight hits to six. Matt Inger came in and threw six pretty good innings of relief. You know, and then hitting-wise, you know, Landon Sherm, newcomer this year, has been playing center field for us. You know, he did have a really good day at the plate with three hits. So nice to have his speed at the top of the order. He's been getting on base, and we've been able to utilize him. So look forward to continuing to have him in center field going forward. So, but yeah, that ended the game. Ended our season at 9-3. You know, Clinton ended up losing to Dawson that day, so there's actually a logjam at the top of the Land of Ducks.
That was a big upset for the Drakes.
Yeah, big upset. Yeah, 10-0, I believe it was. Wow. Beating Clinton. So, you know, Clinton had a chance to clinch sole possession of first place. How the tiebreakers worked out, though, you know, Clinton was still that number one seed, you know, and how it ended up working out for us, you know, even if we would have won, you know, we would have been the four seed, Dumont would have been five, and would have been a, you know, potentially the same matchup for Sunday. You know, it's just with us being the five seed, we get to play today. So look forward to that. You know, some things that we need to get better at is just we need the bats to come around. Pitching staff has done really well this year. Defensively, we've been fine too. It's just a couple games where we committed, you know, quite a few errors, made some mistakes. So clean that stuff up, and you know, should have a good tournament.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that brackets today. Dawson is hosting this weekend.
Yep, Dawson is hosting this weekend. They hosted last year as well.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yep. I think that's been, you know, I think they haven't hosted a region tournament in a while. So, you know, they had a pretty successful tournament last year. You know, not a lot of teams seem to be interested in hosting the region tournament, and Madison wasn't able to put in a bid this year based on, you know, what we want to accomplish here the end of the summer and fall yet with our new grandstand and backstop. So with Dawson hosting, they kick things off this morning at 11 o'clock. I believe it is Cottonwood and Benson.
Yep.
At 11. And then we get things going against Hancock at 1:30. So we look forward to that game against Hancock.
Hancock beat Appleton last night.
Yep. Hancock, yeah, we had a few guys over there reporting back to us, but it sounded like Hancock kind of took care of business against Appleton 10-5. So
okay.
Weren't sure what to expect there with the outcome, but, yeah, we played them both earlier this year, both in the Land of Ducks. So, you know, hopefully we have a good outcome there. Third game of the day is Ortonville Rocks versus Dawson Drakes at 4. And then followed up with the nightcap will be the Chicago Coyotes and Rosen Express. So full slate of games over there today. The winners today will face the four teams that have the bye on Sunday.
Yeah, and those four teams, as I mentioned, the number one seed was Clinton. And number two, the Mineota Mudhens. They're kind of quiet. They're a good team.
Yeah. Mineota, they've, you know, finished at the top of the standings year after year. Play a lot of ball games, so have a lot of guys that like baseball and are around. You know, that they've historically they haven't made it very far in the playoffs, but you know, it's their time. It'll come. Their time might be due this year. So they got a two seed. You know, that's one of those things with us facing Dumont or potentially facing Dumont on Sunday, and Morris being the three seed. You're gonna have to beat good teams regardless of who you're facing Saturday, Sunday, or the next weekend.
Yeah.
So. So four or five really good teams in the Land of Ducks, and then we'll just have to see where the tournament goes from here.
Okay, and then after this weekend, who's the host then?
Yep, so week two is going to head to Morris. It's been a really long time since Morris has hosted a region tournament as well, so very nice field, playing surfaces and everything. So we'll look forward to that. And then the third weekend heads to Clinton.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been, I think, a little while since they've hosted as well. And then fourth weekend's just to be determined.
Okay.
So four full weeks of baseball, so it should be a good time.
Yeah, if you love amateur baseball, Dawson's the place to be this weekend, Morris the following weekend, and then Clinton, Region 9C Amateur Baseball, and looking to go to the state tournament.
Yep, yeah, so our league, how it plays out is we get to send two teams to the region tournament. Yep.
Okay.
So and how we have the bracket set, you know, obviously, you want to stay in the winner's bracket as long as possible. But if you keep winning, I believe that that first game to go to the state tournament is on Sunday in Morris next week. So, you know, with us being the five seed, same seed we were last year, you know, we were able to make it to that game, you know, and we're going to, you know, do our best to get to that point again this year. You know, our roster, we have a pretty deep pitching staff, we feel. And then the defense, we get that to come around and get the bats going. We hope we can make some noise in the playoffs.
Okay. Besides Bornhorst, who's on the pitching staff for the Mallards?
Yep. So Brandon Bornhorst, you know, he's been the horse all year. Wyatt Halverson, he's one of our starters too, or has been this year with those other guys playing Legion. You know, he's done well too. Record of 4-2. Only gave up 3 earned runs on the year. ERA of around 0.8, so really solid pitching staff. You know, Avery Whitnable's throwing a little bit of relief for us. Blake Wolschlager had a big game in relief last week when we played Dawson, coming over from the Legion game and striking out a ton of guys. And then Matt Inger has ate up some innings as well for us. So we're really confident with our pitching staff. They can log a lot of innings. Our team ERA, I was just figuring that stuff out this morning, is 1. So that's very good. We are giving up about 2.5 runs a game, you know, and kind of attribute some of that to a couple games where we played poor defensively. I think we probably gave up half our runs on the year in 14, 15 games,
wow,
in 2 games.
Yep.
So I think we have a solid pitching staff, and hopefully we have the defense and the bats to back them up.
Stay away from walks and errors, right?
Yep, walks and errors, those will kill you. Yeah, you don't want to have leadoff walks on when you're pitching, and then the errors, yeah, those will hurt you too. So,
right. How's the hitting doing? Who's swinging a hot bat for Madison?
So hitting, you know, I think it's always something that we want to improve on. You know, it's going into playoffs here. We've been hitting as a team the last few days. Going over our leaders, you know, Matt Inger, I think year after year, he's at the top for batting average. He had about 16 hits on the year.
Wow.
And is hitting .364, you know, and that's with him missing a couple games during the year as well. You know, Landon Sherm, the newcomer, I don't know how many games he started for us, but I know that, you know, he probably didn't start batting until maybe 4 or 5 games into the season.
Okay.
But he himself, he had 13 hits on the year and hit .333. Avery Whitnable, you know, he's been on the Mallards for, I think, probably 4 years now. He plays some outfield for us. Hasn't had a huge opportunity, but he's gotten more of an opportunity this year. And in his limited action, he had 6 hits and hit over .300. Brandon Hill, who was our hit leader this year, had 17 hits and hit about .300. And then we had Caden Fernals bat about .290 and Blake Wolschlager about .260. So, you know, those 6 guys are kind of at the top of the order for us, or the best hitters, I would say. We look forward to have them rolling into playoffs as well. You know, I think that's what we did last year well, is we hit the first few games of the playoffs. So it's a lot of fun, a lot more fun for the fans, and a lot more fun for our pitching staff
that's
when
right.
We're scoring runs.
How are you doing at the plate?
Needs improvement, I would say. So not up to my standards, I guess.
Okay.
So it's we've been working on it now, and you know, I guess I'm the old guy of the bunch. So
oh, you are.
It's I
are the oldest on the team.
Well, yeah, we got Darby Biergon on the coaching staff as well, but otherwise it's myself and Evan Kells. So
okay.
You know, it's we've been trying to work in a lot of guys to give everyone an opportunity to get some at bats, perform. Cause you never know who's gonna step up. So we've kind of had a rotating door at DH, and I don't play the field anymore, Paul. So
you're
no, too old. Yep,
field.
Yep. So
just the DH.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, when I get home, I'm gonna start stretching. So I think that shows you enough. And the game isn't till 1:30. So
all right, good.
Yeah.
Okay, you do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, best of luck in Dawson today against the Hancock Orphans.
Yep, Hancock Orphans at 1:30. You know, we've for our games in town, we've had a really good attendance from the fans. A lot of fan support this year, so we appreciate that. I thank everybody. If you're listening now, we'd appreciate your support today at 1:30. So if you don't have anything else going on, please head to Dawson and cheer for the Mallards.
That's right. I believe four games over there at Nelson Field. They do a nice job over there. They've made some great improvements over there at Nelson Field, haven't they?
Yep, yeah, great improvements. Really good atmosphere. You know, they got that new scoreboard, big scoreboard out in right center. Yeah. And I think they got some other plans, too, with redoing the backstop and stuff. So, you know, all the teams really seem like they're continuing to try to improve their fields. Makes it a lot more fun and enjoyable.
Okay. All right. Thanks for coming in the studio, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
And that will wrap up our baseball coaches show for today. Once again, head on over to Dawson. You got four Region 9C playoff games happening. It starts at 11 o'clock. And you'll hear that Madison Mallard game right here on Q92 at 1:30 this afternoon. And thanks for listening to the Baseball Coaches Show, everyone.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. This week, you'll find wild sockeye salmon, frozen ribeyes, and New York strip steaks at 25% off. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. The Country Butcher will deliver fresh-cut and frozen products free of charge during the city's infrastructure project. Call between 10 and noon each day for delivery.